Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast. This is your episode for Thursday, January 25th, and the losing streak is six games, and this was supposed to be the softest part of the schedule. This is Matt Shook, your host. You can find me on Twitter at Locked On Pistons, and also my personal Twitter account at Matt underscore Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. We got a Facebook page now at Locked On Pistons dash Matt Shook. Been following the Pistons my whole life, like many of you have, and also covered the NBA for the Associated Press here in Chicago, and along with other outlets, and have been a newspaper reporter for my adult life here in these past 15 years or so. But we're going to take a look back at the Pistons game Wednesday night in Detroit, a loss to the Utah Jazz in overtime. We're going to take a deeper look into the fantastic game by Andre Drummond that was just an outstanding performance by the big man after a night after he got snubbed from his words at the All-Star game by the coaches in the Eastern Conference on Tuesday night. And I'm going to tell you something to remember, a thing to remember about Andre Drummond this year that might change your opinion on how this season is going. I want to say thanks to the guys who joined us on the draft app, draft.com, on Wednesday for another Draft Wednesday. Join us next week. Sign up for the Daily Fantasy site. Use promo code LOPISTONS. Support this podcast. Follow me on the app at Matt Shook there as well, and we will invite you into next week's contest. A lot of fun, and congratulations to the winners as well. I got second place, so I got a little money tonight for that. So, Pistons fall on 98-95 on Wednesday night at home in overtime to the Utah Jazz. Falling, the Pistons did to 22-24, sixth straight loss, and are now a full two games out of the Eastern Conference playoffs. As mentioned before, Andre Drummond was outstanding. 30 points, 24 rebounds, 6 blocked shots, 4 assists, 3 steals, a historic performance from the big man. And he really put the team on his back in the fourth quarter and gave him a huge lead, 88-79 with 3 minutes left. Avery Bradley had a 3-point opportunity from the corner that would have iced the game, but the Pistons could do no right from there on, especially in regulation, losing despite being up by 9 points with 3 minutes left. The ninth loss at 11th game, the fourth straight loss at home for the Pistons in Little Caesars Arena. It got ugly-ish, missed a couple of long twos late in the fourth quarter, another one in overtime after broken down offensive possessions that never even really got started. Stanley Johnson missed another one of his spread eagle three-pointers wide open by about a mile. Andre had some misses down there as well. Stanley missed, finished 1-for-7 from three-point land. The team finished 7-for-31 at about 22% from three in the game. Stan Van Gundy afterwards talked about how it would have been nice to get some offense in there as far as schedule or as far as lineups and rotations and everything like that. But as you correctly pointed out, nobody on the perimeter besides Andre Drummond, nobody on the team besides Andre Drummond could get anything going offensively, although it would have been nice to see Luke Kennard maybe get some more minutes, although he did play down the stretch quite a bit. But 13 points for Tobias Harris, but he struggled for a lot of the night. 14 points for Ish, but he was garbage in the at the end of the fourth quarter and into overtime. 10 points for Luke Kennard, who continues to be a shining prospect for the Pistons here in the second half of the season, especially after the new year turned. But the Pistons needed Avery Bradley or Stanley Johnson or Langston Galloway, who started for the first time this season at point guard, but it just wasn't there for any of those guys. Compounding the problem was that the Pistons had 20 turnovers offensively, and that's not going to get it done in many NBA games. But you got to give some defensive credit to Avery Bradley. He gave Donovan Mitchell problems. The Rookie of the Year candidate had 15 points but was 6 of 21 from the field. He had 5 assists and 4 rebounds. Unfortunate schedule-wise for the Pistons that they got Utah with Rudy Gobert back. The French center made more of an impact than he has in the last couple days since returning from injury. This was his fourth game back. He had 15 points and 8 rebounds, but was outplayed throughout the night by Andre Drummond, especially down the stretch. Again, hats off to Drummond. Individually, he's got to feel good about this, despite the fact that the Pistons' season continues to go down the toilet here in the 2018 portion of the schedule. Joe Ingles for the Jazz made some huge plays, including his curl to the basket for the game tire in the closing seconds, found there by Ricky Rubio on the curl. They were drawing something up for Donovan Mitchell or Joe Johnson, but Ingles curled. Stanley Johnson, for some reason, trailed the play, and Andre Drummond didn't step up quickly enough and get over there to block the shot. I'd say that was mostly on Stanley. I don't know what you're doing behind him at that situation, giving up the path in between the basket and him. He should have been right there in between the basket and Joe Ingles. And then Ingles, to his credit, knocked down a couple of three-pointers in overtime as the Jazz took control, and the Pistons played well defensively after that in overtime, but couldn't get anything going offensively, as we are pretty much used to them to seeing them. Although I'll give credit to Stan Van Gundy. In the closing seconds, the Pistons had chances to win or tie the game, win the game in regulation or tie the game in overtime, drew up a couple of nice sets that the Pistons followed pretty well. Although I will say that Andre Drummond committed probably one, probably two fouls on the play that got Luke Kennard the semi-open look at the end of the fourth quarter, although Rudy Gobert was chasing after him with abandon on that play. And then Gobert did the same thing on Tobias Harris after Van Gundy set Harris up for a three-pointer in the corner. And Gobert just went all balls out and almost got a hand on both of those balls. But that big Frenchman coming at you with that kind of speed must have been part of the reason, at least, why the Pistons missed on those two jump shots. But the Pistons will try to end the losing skid again on Saturday at home for a 4:30 start against the Oklahoma City Thunder. LeBron James and the struggling Cavaliers back in town on Sunday for a 5:30 game. And then the Pistons will be traveling to Cleveland for an 8 o'clock game on Tuesday night on TNT. So three games that they will be underdogs in. And you got a six-game losing streak going into those. Two games under 500, two games out of the playoffs. Things are not looking good in Piston land right now, although who knows? Maybe Reggie Jackson will be coming back sometime in the next two or three weeks to practice at least anyways, and maybe getting back into game shape shortly after that. You got to look for things to hope for. But again, outstanding performance from Andre Drummond. We're going to take a look deeper into that a little bit here on Locked On Pistons. But if your company is interested in men between the ages of 18 and 44, then your company should be sponsoring this podcast. Locked On Pistons is listened to by 98% men and 80% between the ages of 18 to 44. So if you want to reach men in that 18 to 44 demo, this is your spot. Plus, our rates are reasonable. So email me at Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com to find out more.
Yes!
A little bit later on here on Locked On Pistons, we're going to be talking about the thing to remember about Andre Drummond this season that might kind of change your opinion looking forward about the Detroit Pistons. But one night after he was snubbed on the All-Star Game selection by the Eastern Conference coaches on Tuesday night, and he threw out a couple of tweets out there, including saying, "Guess I got to start doing backflips after every point I score to get attention out here. LMAO, laughing my ass off. On to the next," he says, before he dropped another one with profanity. "Gotta be effing kidding me, LOL," he said. He didn't say effing, though, so I think you can figure out where Andre Drummond went with that. But he did respond on the court as well on Wednesday night, brought it. That two-minute span that he dominated, I think it was about a 10-0 run. He had pretty much all of the production and made all the plays for the Pistons there. As they looked to have put the game away against the Utah Jazz on Wednesday night, Utah would come back and win in overtime, as you know well by now. George Blaha on the telecast was saying, "He looks like an all-star," and Special K, Greg Kelser, backed him up. It really was amazing stuff, and he became, in this game, by the way, the youngest player to 2,000 career offensive rebounds. Keep in mind, he's 24 years old still, so maybe a little bit of maturing and some things to add to his game over the years as well, and maybe keep the social media, hit the tweet button a little bit of a delay before you have the emotional tweets, as maybe we've all learned a little bit over the years if you've been on Twitter for a while. But some stats and some other figures about his big night on Wednesday that I want to pass along. Rod Beard of the Detroit News, our guest from Wednesday's podcast, he says, "Since 1973-74, when the NBA first recorded blocks and steals, no player had 30-plus points, 24-plus rebounds, 6-plus blocks, 4-plus assists, and 3-plus steals in the same game before Andre Drummond did tonight." I say plus, and he had exactly those numbers, but no one had at least those numbers really going forward. And Austin Drake, who's the stat guy for Fox Sports Detroit and a good follow on Twitter as well, Austin Drake, find him on there. He mentioned that, took it even a step further, saying that that stat line hadn't been matched with those numbers of 30 points, 24 rebounds, 4 assists, 6 blocks, and 3 steals hadn't been matched since 63-64. So we're talking about more than 50 years at this point. Ben Quagliata from Australia, a writer for the Detroit Bad Boys site. I've never talked to Ben, so I hope I'm pronouncing his name correctly, but you should be following him at Quagsport, by the way. He pointed out that Andre Drummond had his 30 points on 11 of 17 field goals along with his 24 rebounds. So the rest of the starters combined during the game had 31 points, so 1 point more than just Andre Drummond, who is, you know, not the most prolific scorer in the NBA, obviously. 14 of 47 field goals, so made 3 more field goals than Drummond while attempting 30 more. And had 12 rebounds, so half the amount of rebounds that Andre Drummond had. And Ben goes on to say that it was a one-man show. So got to agree with him there. Just an outstanding performance from Andre Drummond. I listened to the podcast of David Locke of Locked On Jazz, the founder of the Locked On Network. Shout out to David, by the way. They had great things to say about Drummond in the post game. They seem to believe that he's an all-star as well. And a lot of articles out there. I saw the Undefeated had him on the all snub list. Mark Spears had him in an article as well. All sorts of articles out there about how he's one of the biggest snubs in the NBA. If you're a Pistons fan, you know, we're Detroit. We love snubs. You got to feel like that maybe he'll ride this out a little bit, maybe lift the Pistons up to a few victories over the next few weeks with inspired play, and that maybe Reggie Jackson will come back and help turn things around and lift this team back into the Eastern Conference playoff picture. I mean, possibly this team could maybe be a 7 seed or 8 seed. That's certainly not out the window at this point. There needs to be some changes. There needs to be some things that Stan Van Gundy needs to do, and there needs to be some luck for the Pistons as well. But that pathway is out there. They've got a lot of home games here in these next few months, although, as we mentioned, 4 straight home losses. So I know you're frustrated, Pistons fans, and I am too. I don't like watching this team when they're losing. I don't like watching, you know, replays of fourth quarters and stuff like that. I'm not too optimistic about these next few games as well, with the Oklahoma City Thunder playing better lately and the Cleveland Cavaliers. Just the beatdown that they put on the Pistons earlier this season, although they're struggling lately now, it's hard to look at a team with LeBron James and think that you have any kind of upper hand in that matchup. But there's some things to keep in mind, and I'm going to remind you after the break here about something that might change your mind a little bit about the Pistons season going forward, especially given the improvements of Andre Drummond here on Locked On Pistons. As we've told you many times here on Locked On Pistons, you need to also be listening to our Locked On Network brother program, Locked On Lions, hosted by Matt Derry as he takes you through the daily look at the Lions and new coach Matt Patricia coming. A lot of Matts here on the Locked On Network and a lot of Matts involved with the Detroit Lions and their quarterback situation as well. So listen to Locked On Pistons, listen to Locked On Lions as well. Follow them on iTunes, subscribe to them, rate them, all that good stuff that you do for Locked On Pistons as well here. But big picture wise, really, again, it sounds dumb, and it is dumb in some ways, in the midst of a 6-game losing streak, blowing a game they should have won, and then falling in overtime to the Utah Jazz. But big picture night, it's a decent night for Pistons fans as Andre Drummond again showed flashes of the type of player that he is becoming and already is right now in his 5th season in the league. Stan Van Gundy has come up with some things that have turned Andre's season around, and we'll have another chance to add some things as well in the offseason. Something that would have been ridiculous to suggest even a few months ago about Andre Drummond, but something that maybe he should work on this offseason is his ball handling. He might be able to add a little bit of a driving game if they keep him as far away from the basket as they do sometimes now, because when he does, he kind of gets a wide-eyed, and it looks pretty clumsy and sometimes hilarious, really, when he thinks that he's going to take it to the basket from the three-point line. He doesn't have that in his game right now, but he gets that full head of steam. He gets those wide eyes and sometimes travels, as he did Sunday against Brooklyn in the what could have been the game winner that the refs didn't end up calling. But anyway, sometimes he just looks a little bit too excited and kind of tries to take too long a steps or too much force to the basket, not really thinking about putting one foot in front of the other. But, and I'm not saying when I talk on this segment here about some things that might be positive about Stan Van Gundy, I do still think that Stan Van Gundy needs to do some things this year to save his job for next season. The question was posed to me on Twitter after the Pistons lost to the Jazz on Wednesday night about this. And, you know, maybe that's something that he can do with his front office hat on by making a trade, or maybe it's something, adjustments that he could make coaching-wise to straighten this team out. And as a side, I'll say again, I think I mentioned this on yesterday's podcast, I certainly mentioned it on Twitter the other day as well, but I think there's an opportunity for the Pistons here to trade Avery Bradley to the Cleveland Cavaliers. And that's just because there's a team out there that's desperate, that's going to be willing to give up some assets for him. And I know that the Cavaliers have that Brooklyn pick, and that's too much to give up for Avery Bradley at an expiring deal, but maybe there's a way that you can get a third team involved or a fourth team involved to make that work by sending out, and you know, you need to give up some good things to get some good things. And if you're the Pistons, not only would Avery Bradley get you some things for the future or get you some assets for possibly even this year or next year, but Avery Bradley's been someone who locked up Kyrie earlier this year. He could help with DeMar DeRozan and Steph Curry. He showed against Donovan Mitchell that he's still got that one-on-one defensive capabilities that the Cleveland Cavaliers could definitely use as they're looking at, like I said, Steph Curry and DeMar DeRozan and Kyrie Irving. Those are the types of players that they're going to have to be if they're going to want to go back to the NBA Finals and possibly give the Warriors some kind of series later on this summer. But It's kind of my version of selling if you're the Pistons. I don't think that they should be, you know, going full tank or anything like that. But if you look at Avery Bradley and you take an honest look at the Pistons salary cap going forward and thinking that he's a free agent this summer, he's going to want a nice little payday. The Pistons have Tobias Harris to extend possibly this summer, or think about him being a free agent the following summer. You have to take an honest look at where this season is going and where this team is at, and think if Avery Bradley for the next few months is going to really put you over the hump in terms of a team that's going to go from point A to point B, whatever point A is. Well, right now it's pretty far in the toilet, but then point B, wherever you think that is, there's certainly a ceiling on wherever you think point B is at this point. So you also have to take a look at your roster construction going forward, especially with the great play of Luke Kennard so far in this past month or so. Do you want to lock up Avery Bradley for a lot of money so you can keep Luke Kennard on the bench? I think that you need to think about having Luke Kennard as your shooting guard of the future as far as a starting wing, and then maybe combine him with a bigger player who can maybe mask some of his defensive problems on the wing, a Stanley Johnson type. Now, obviously, Stanley Johnson hasn't shown that he's up to the challenge of being a regular wing, you know, clutch time starting type of player that the Pistons need at that position, and he's a whole other discussion for a whole other day. But I think Luke Kennard's shown you enough that maybe not next year, but certainly in the future, by the end of whatever contract Avery Bradley is going to be looking for this summer, by the end of that contract, Luke Kennard's going to be ready to be starting and getting 30-plus minutes a game. So that's something to think of when you're looking at Avery Bradley. I mean, do you want to lose him this summer for nothing? I know that's good to clear out the balance sheet in some ways, but if you're not going to be locking him up this summer, if your team's not going to be going to the Eastern Conference Finals or anything like that this year, then why don't you go ahead and ship Avery Bradley off? Especially because not only do you probably don't even want to re-sign him, given that the shooting guard is a position where you've tied up a lot of money on Langston Galloway last summer with the 3-year, $21 million contract. So you've already got money tied up into your backup shooting guard, and maybe bring Luke Kennard as your starter next year. That's enough of a asset and camp contribution there. I think you should maybe take the Avery Bradley money that you might have earmarked for that, throw it into either Tobias Harris extension or re-signing maybe this summer, and then think about acquiring other assets with the cap room with whatever else that you would have spent on Avery Bradley. So that's my saying on that. I think that they should look at this Cleveland Cavaliers implosion and the fact that they need to do something over these next couple weeks and take that as a cue that they need to jump on that and be an opportunistic team to try to make a shrewd move to help themselves out by taking advantage of a desperate team in some ways. But even if this thing continues to go badly and they miss the playoffs, I think the Pistons and Pistons fans need to remember that Stan Van Gundy was the one who kind of did some things to bring Andre Drummond away from the basket, ran some action going towards the basket from other players for him, and gave him the opportunity to do a lot of things, tactic-wise to get Andre Drummond to become the player that he's been playing this season. So as you're thinking about this season, you're thinking about firing Stan Van Gundy, I think you need to remember that as we watched Andre Drummond put together an unbelievable performance on Wednesday against the Jazz, albeit in the loss, you need to keep in mind that it was Stan Van Gundy coming up with a lot of things in the offseason, a lot of things in the summer that helped Andre Drummond become the player that he's become, especially on that, like I said, that performance on Wednesday night. If that's a sign of things to come for him and a sign of things to come throughout his career, it's really quite remarkable that he played that way and that Stan Van Gundy was able to pull the right strings in terms of what he had with his franchise center, in terms of not giving him post-up moves anymore, not trying to just throw just all pick and roll out there that other teams responded to and that didn't work for the Pistons last year, and to able to adjust and to put Andre Drummond in a position to succeed is something you got to hand Stan Van Gundy a lot of credit for, despite all the things that have frustrated fans about Stan Van Gundy during this past year, especially during these past couple months. So keep that in mind, Pistons fans, as you're stewing about Stan Van Gundy. And keep in mind also that if you want to fire him as a coach and a president this year, you also got to buy out his last year of his contract. And it's a business decision that the Pistons probably don't want to make unless they have to and things go really sour here the rest of the way. But we're going to take a look ahead to the weekend on Friday's Locked On Pistons podcast. So join us that Oklahoma City and Cleveland coming in town. Some of the biggest stars in the NBA will be at Little Caesars Arena on Saturday and Sunday. So let me know if you're going to the game and let me know what you think about how the Pistons look this weekend. If you do as well, you should be reaching out to me on social media for that. Also follow the Locked On NBA Network at Locked On NBA Net and go to Facebook and follow us on our Facebook page, Locked On Pistons Dash Matt Shook as well. Give us a like on there and get into the discussion that we're having there on Facebook too. But thanks for listening, everyone, and we'll talk to you again soon.